And members, welcome to the commit to the State Government Finance and Elections Committee for Monday, March 8th. And pursuant to House Rule 10.01, this meeting is being held virtually. And again, welcome members to deadline week. It's always fun and as we go on. The legislative assistant will take the role.
Chair Nelson?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Carlson, present.
Representative Nash?
Present.
Representative Bonner?
Present.
Representative Drazkowski? I see Representative Drazkowski here.
Drazkowski, present. Thank you.
Yep. Representative Elkins? Representative Greenman? Representative Kleborn?
Present.
Representative Kosnick? Representative Mason? You're muted, Representative Mason.
Sorry about that. Present.
Representative New Brindley?
Present.
Representative Pulaski? Representative Quam?
Present.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. Representative Greenman, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
Did, and I move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenman moves approval of the minutes from Friday, March 5th, 2021. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. The first bill on our agenda this morning, or this afternoon, is House File 1863. And Representative, this comes from our local government or just directly here on this spreck, Amanda.
Chair Nelson, just here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I didn't understand what you were saying. Representative Long, I'll move House File 1863 to be referred to the General Register. Representative Long, please describe your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under current law, political parties have an exclusive right for use of their name on the ballot, and this bill would simply make that right enforceable. A political party could bring a petition to a court to demonstrate that a candidate was not a member of their party. And the remedy would not be to remove the candidate from the ballot, only to remove the listing of the party name next to the candidate. We've seen candidates file in the past that do not seem to be aligned with a particular party. For instance, there was a legislative race in Florida last cycle where one of the candidates came out of nowhere and suspiciously had the same last name as the incumbent. And we've also seen in our state perennial candidates run under multiple party banners with the goal of garnering attention, often to the embarrassment of the party they chose. We included safeguards in this bill so the petition is not abused. The petitions could only be brought by the party itself or for a candidate filing under their party name. Candidates are also presumptively considered members of a party if they receive the party endorsement or if they're engaged in the party's governance structure. A party would also have to have tangible evidence to prove to a court that the party name is being improperly used. In sum, this bill allows parties more control over their existing legal right to exclusive use of their party name to help them protect their brand. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and I see we have a couple testifiers that if needed, Representative Long, are you ready to take questions?
I am, Mr. Chair.
Members, questions of the Representative Law and the bill. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Long, I'm wondering what would constitute tangible evidence?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So tangible evidence was my phrase. That's not used in the bill. I was just indicating that to prove to a court that you have to actually present evidence. You can't just have a hunch. And so you would have to actually bring evidence to the court that an individual was not a member of your party.
Follow up, Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what kind of evidence would that include?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question, Representative New Brindley. So I think it would be very contextual to the circumstance, but you could have evidence that somebody had never participated in your party before, that the individual perhaps was a member of another party at another time. Perhaps the individual had made statements that were inconsistent with your party's beliefs. Those are, I think, a few examples I could think of, but it would be up to the court to weigh the evidence and for the party to present the evidence that an individual was not a member of their party.
Representative Brindley, one last question, and I've got to go to Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the intent, and I think we all have concern about protecting our brand. I'm concerned about the lack of specificity in this bill, and it's incredibly subjective, which also seems dangerous that, you know, this is kind of a party boss bill that chairs of parties can have a lot of discretion here, and that seems quite dangerous. You know, we live in a state where we don't register by party, and I think that in Minnesota, a lot of value has been placed on that. And this just seems like a really dangerous road to go down. So I'm definitely a no vote today, but thank you.
Thank you, Representative New Brindley. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm a little bit troubled by the reasons put forth by the author. One is I know personally two members that were of one party and went to the other party. And in fact, I served with one who was in my party and then became actually a chair in the majority party. And I also know down in a former chair of the Transportation Committee was of your party and then ran under my party to be in there. So having been active in one party or the other, I've seen go different ways. So I'm troubled by that because sometimes people make that decision. And then I'm also troubled by many of the people that run, especially for the legislature, that I've known weren't very active in the party until they decided to get active and run. And so I could see some valid people being disqualified because, well, you weren't part of the party before, but something happened, whether it was you know, a change in DC or in St. Paul that caused them to make that decision to be a servant. And primarily the underflow that gives me concern is local districts endorse people. I think all of us know occasions where the state party leaders maybe didn't really like who was endorsed. And this would be a way of negating the voice of the local people. I understand the intent. I just don't see sufficient protections within this bill to where there are good people that have been active in the past, could have been disqualified under this bill, and we would have missed their contributions to the legislature. Thank you.
Representative Long, that was more of a statement, it sounds to me, than a question, but Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to respond. Thank you, Representative Quam. So the circumstance you mentioned where somebody affirmatively switches parties, I think would be a pretty easy one for the court to rule on, because you would have somebody who has said, now I am a Democrat or now I am a Republican, and there would be a lot of evidence that they are a member of a new party. Also, I think in the circumstances you named, those people won their endorsement. And there is a specific protection in the bill for anybody who has won the party's endorsement to be presumptively considered a member of that party. So it really wouldn't be possible, in my view, to likely challenge anyone who has won their party's endorsement. So there is a big protection for, I think, the party process to play out. And this really isn't intended for normal circumstances where somebody is switching parties out of good faith, or an individual who is winning an endorsement. This is for individuals who really are not aligned with a party, and there's a very clear evidence that can demonstrate that they are running for improper purposes, and the remedy is not to remove them from the ballot. It would just be to remove the party name, so the individual could still run for office.
Representative Nash, you were the next person on my list, or do you want to go last?
I'll close it up, sir.
Okay, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. And Representative Long, that was kind of getting at, you know, you mentioned briefly in your opening comments about some of the safeguards that are specifically spelled out in the bill. Might be worthwhile to maybe just, if you could quickly run through those again, because just based on some of the line of questioning, it seems like a restatement of those safeguards might be in order.
Representative Long.
Thank you. I'd be happy to. I think the main one is the party endorsement one, which is that anybody who's endorsed by the party would be presumptively considered a member of the party. And then also any involvement in party leadership. So if you're active in your local Senate district, that could be would be presumptive evidence that you're a member of the party. And then, as I mentioned, this is not something that others could use this right to try to interfere in a different party's operation. So it is a right that only runs with the party, and that the party itself could only bring for its own party brand.
Thank you.
Representative Carlson, follow-up?
Nope, I just thought that was important just based on some of the questions we were hearing.
Representative Nash, you've got the last question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I remember, I think it was 2012, there was conversation here in my own Senate district about the utilization of the word Republican for a certain member. And I would imagine there have been conversations about the use of the word Democrat or DFL or whatever. And the thing that I took heart in was that the local folks were more than capable of taking care of this, either through the BPOU process or other. And I really do believe that this is a very strong concentration of power. It reminds me of stories that you might read in history books about Boss Tweed in New York City. And I just think that I trust the voice of local folks far more than I trust either chair of the major parties here in the state of Minnesota or in any other state for that matter. So I am going to fall on the side of local folks and would urge no vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Representative Long, a quick follow-up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
A quick wrap-up.
As I mentioned, there is all the protection that you would desire for local folks in this bill. If you are a local party unit and you have an endorsement, then you were protected. Then that candidate is presumptively a member of your party. So this is really for only those circumstances where you have a candidate who has filed for office, who is really embarrassing the party because they are not a member of the party, and that this at least gives the party an apparatus to try to help maintain their party brand.
With that, members, I'll renew my motion that House File 1863 be sent referred to the General Register. Ms. Sprecht, can you take the roll?
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Bonner?
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Representative Cleborne?
Aye.
Representative Kosnick?
No.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative New Brindley?
No.
Representative Pawlowski? Representative Quam?
No.
With a vote of 7 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails.
The motion prevails and the bill's on its way to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Now, members, I'm going to hand the virtual gavel over to the Vice Chair, Mr. Representative Carlson. The next two bills are mine. And Representative Carlson, can we take 1952 first? That's probably the quickest one. And then we spend the rest of the time on the other bill. Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. See, you know, you always got to throw me for a little bit of a loop there, don't you? To keep me on my toes. No problem. So the next bill on the agenda is going to be House File 1952. This bill is being proposed for being laid over for possible inclusion. Chair Nelson, why don't you proceed with moving your bill and then provide us with your testimony.
Members, I'll move House File 1952, and we're going to planning on laying this over. And members, this bill is a very small bill. Just adds language to the about the documents in the state that go to the state legislative library. And members, what this basically with members is this is our vehicle bill that we're going to use to build our state government finance committee bill for this year. And it's an agreed upon bill with myself and Senator Kiffmeyer. And that's what this bill is. And members, I've got Ms. Lincoln here from the Legislative Library and Ms. Weber here from the LCC to answer any questions. But members, this is basically our vehicle bill for our state finance, state government finance bill this year.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Are either of your testifiers planning to speak, or are they just available for questions?
Mr. Chair, they're available for questions.
Okay, we'll move to member questions. Members, I'm not seeing any hands. Any questions with regards to House File 1952? Give you a minute to kind of preview. Okay, Representative Quam, I see you have your hand up. If you would please proceed with your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I was just wondering if the author could illuminate how large the trunk and glove compartment are on this bill.
Representative Quam, it's not that kind of vehicle, but thanks for the humor.
Well, I was wondering about the, commenting on the budget. Sorry, to, Mr. Chair, as the follow-up was the what sort of size budget-wise would be coming out?
Mr. Chair, that's yet to be determined.
Okay.
We haven't got our target yet.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Quam, if no other questions, I've got Representative Drazkowski next on the list of members that would like to ask a question. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Unlike Representative Quam, I have a substantive question, Mr. Chair, and that is, could the author just, Mr. Chair, just describe to us what the reason is for this bill? I take it is a legitimate bill. Tell us why we need to do this amendment.
Chair Nelson, and I know we also have your testifiers available as well.
I'll let Ms. Lincoln answer that question. Ms. Lincoln.
This would be beneficial. This would be beneficial to the library because occasionally we have state agencies that balk at the providing us with larger documents or more expensively produced documents that document the work of their agency.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Lincoln, what is the behavior of state agencies? If they can't charge a library, do they charge a legislature? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Ms. Lincoln.
Members, they occasionally just balk at providing copies of documents to us. They generally, we cajole them into providing them, but it adds a little strength to that provision that requires them to provide them to us with no cost.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Lincoln.
Thank you.
Other members with questions? Okay, not seeing any. All right, well, with that, I'm gonna go back to the chair to provide any final comments. And again, Mr. members, we are laying this bill over for possible inclusion. Chair Nelson, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Like I said, this is the bill that we're going to use to build our state government finance report, our bill for this session. So, members, just lay this over, then we'll get on to our next bill.
Okay. So, with that, House File 1952 is laid over for possible inclusion. possible inclusion in a future bill. Next on the agenda, we have House File 1388. Also, chief author is Chair Nelson. This is the Stadium General Reserve Account Calculation Adjustment Bill. I see we do have an amendment, but let's first get this bill moving. Chair Nelson, if you would like to please move your bill and provide a brief summary explanation, please.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll move House File 1388 to be referred to taxes.
Great. Chair Nelson moves House File 1388 to be referred to taxes. If you want to provide your opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1388 does three things. One, it creates a stadium payoff fund. On October 1st of each year, the Commissioner of Management Budget would move money into this fund above the $44 million from the current stadium reserve to that's needed to pay off the bonds and that going forward. Number two, it directs the Commissioner of MMB to use the stadium payoff fund to refinance the bonds. I know the governor in his budget this year had a piece in there about refinancing these bills, but they're not called, these bonds are not callable till 2023. And if we do it now, they become, instead of tax exempt bonds, they would become taxable bonds, which would have a higher interest rate. If we can wait till 2023 and refinance them at the current level of interest rates, we can save money for the state, and that's part of why we want to do this. And at the time that this happens, that this commissioner MMB will analyze the report on the legislature of the use of the money in the state fund. That's what the bill does, members. And it's basically what brought this bill about was that last year, especially that when before the shutdown and before the COVID shutdown, while all the bars and restaurants got down, there appeared to be a growing amount in the stadium reserve coming from the electronic pull tabs and the other pull tabs, and all sorts of members were eyeing that money to try and take it out of the stadium reserve fund and spend it on multiple things. And at the time that they were doing that, there was all those things legislators were looking at, if they had done those, there wouldn't have been money in that fund to pay the bonds. So members, when the electronic pull tabs was set up as a method of raising money to pay for the stadium and pay the state's portion of the stadium bonds off, when it first started out, it didn't take off the way that it was sold as. There was had to be a backup tax that was the next year that came on, we put in there, and now it has taken off and it's been growing. But when the shutdown last year, that way that it was growing became less and became a smaller portion, and because people weren't going to bars, so they weren't doing the electronic pull tabs, and they weren't doing the regular pull tabs because they weren't in the bars and restaurants. We just want to make sure we preserve this money so that we can pay this off. If and when we pay the stadium off, if we refinance it and get it paid off earlier, like Hennepin County did when they refinanced the Twin Stadium, that extra money they were able to use to spend on things in the county, I envision that the money that once the stadium gets paid off or we save money on the bonds, that frees up a lot of money for the state to spend on other items that everybody wants to use, and we can have a lively discussion at that time of what we want to use that money for. But I don't want people going after it and taking this money now. And that's what the purpose of this bill is. It's a tax issue. That's why we're referring it to taxes. And
thank you. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Representative Nash, I know you have another commitment this evening. Is your question for now for the chair, or is it for later?
Mr. Nash. Chair, I'll just be very brief. I just wanted to thank Chair Nelson for bringing this forward. For recognizing that there is benefit in preserving that stadium fund and for making it so that those bonds can be refinanced so that ultimately the taxpayer, the state of Minnesota, can get off the hook for the stadium more rapidly than even previously possible. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rep. Nash. Next we have, we do have an amendment, the A1 amendment by Representative Koznick. Representative Koznick, could you please, would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Chair Carlson. I would move the A1 amendment.
Wonderful. Representative Kiasnik moves the A1 amendment. If you would proceed with describing the amendment, please.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair and committee members. The A1 amendment would act to serve, once the Viking Stadium bonds are paid off, the amendment would dedicate the current stadium revenue account revenue streams to the highway trunk bond service and municipal state aid streets, MSAS aid, which is provides larger cities, at least 5,000 in population, street aid. And the purpose I bring the amendment forward is that the current use of the revenues to pay off bonds, once the stadium is paid off, I would intend to be consistent with the current use of the bonds, or use of the revenue to pay off additional bonds. We here, and Chair Nelson and I serve on the Transportation Committee along with a couple other members, have in the past or currently serving on transportation, recognize the growing need just to maintain our roads. And so what the amendment does is helps provide additional revenue by paying off trunk highway bonds so that we can continue to improve our roads and meet the needs that are required. But then additionally, the municipal street aid for cities like Bloomington, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rochester, Winona, Lakeville, many, many cities across the state would benefit from having additional revenue to maintain and keep safe streets rather than going falling on the laps of property taxes. So that is my amendment, and I appreciate member support.
Thank you, Representative Kiasnik. Representative Drazkowski, is your question to the amendment?
It is, Mr. Chair. I have a question and an appeal to the author. Representative Kiasnik, I see the small cities. I can't remember what it's called, but we do have an account for small cities similar to municipal state aid street fund, and that's not included here. Would you be amenable to amending it and creating a paragraph number 3 and inserting it between 1.12 and 1.13?
Representative Kiasnik.
I don't have that written into the amendment at this point. Half of the funds generated here go to the trunk highway bonds. A majority of the highway user trust distribution fund actually goes to outstate Minnesota, and small cities are served in that regard. But certainly, there's just simply not enough efficiency to serve larger traffic and safety needs as there are in the larger cities of at least 5,000. But I know that the city of Winona would be included. It's a city of at least 5,000. And I believe Representative Drazkowski is close to your district. And oftentimes you are calling in for committee right from the city of Winona. So I believe you would benefit directly from that.
Representative Drazkowski, any follow-up questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just a comment. Representative Kiasnik, I hope if this is adopted, we can add it in. I'd actually like to add it in now. I don't represent the city of Winona. Representative Plowski does. I happen to own a business here in the city of Winona. But my district, every single one of them is a small city in my district, every single city. And we have many other rural legislators who are in the same situation. We have Lions clubs and other clubs all across our districts paying into the gambling fund, just like the cities that benefit from municipal street aid. So, again, I'd make the appeal, and it would make sense to add a numeral or a paragraph 3 in there and add it in if there is interest in adopting the amendment. And you wouldn't really need to change anything else because it would still be equal amounts. It would be one-third, one-third, one-third.
Okay. Next on my list, I have Chair Nelson. You're next on my list.
Members and Representative Kiasnik, like you said, I do serve on the Transportation Committee. But again, this is why I'm bringing the bill forward. This is another, everyone is wanting to give a piece of this money. If I were going to want to do this, I wouldn't want to put it just in the municipal state aid fund. I'd want to put it in the the highway user fund that goes, that it's, that's divided out for the large cities, for the counties, for the small cities, and it's divided out among that, among everybody that goes across the whole state. Again, this, I think this amendment is flawed because of that, but it's also putting the cart before the horse. In the, we're looking at 10 years, 5 years, maybe more down the road, that there's even going to be the stadium would be paid off. And so I think at that time, there may be other needs that we have. And I think that we should not be doing this now, designating what it needs to be spent on now. And so I would oppose this amendment.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Members, if you could please unmute yourselves. And we'll go to a vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say no. No.
No. No.
The amendment is not approved. The amendment is not adopted.
Division, Mr. Chair?
Division.
First off, I was hoping to get the last word as the amendment author, then you went straight to a vote.
I do apologize. You're
right. I would ask for a roll call.
Yep, fair enough. Representative Koznick, please, if you have some final thoughts on your amendment.
Well, I appreciate the discussion and the interest from members, including the bill author, and certainly there are other ways that we could address this to go into our transportation system, and I'm not opposed to it. I'm not sure that we're able to do that on the fly here, Representative Drazkowski. But I think it's important to continue with the intent of the revenue streams to pay off current debt that the state has. And so once the stadium fund is paid off, I think this would be a better mechanism of continuing to pay off state debt to improve our state in an area that is likely to probably face, we are facing a funding shortfall to keep up with our roads. And what's going to end up happening, Chair Nelson, is that we'll probably be looking at bills to introduce new taxes to pay for our roads. And so I would prefer to use our current revenue streams to do that and be smarter with the revenues that we do have to maintain one of the basic services of government. And Mr. Chair, is it possible to ask for a roll call since I did not, was skipped over?
Representative Koznick, yes, we will, a roll call has been requested. We will take a roll call on the A1 amendment. Representative Nash, to the amendment, or are you looking to speak to the bill as a whole? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. From a procedural perspective, I'm not sure if we need a motion from the prevailing side to reconsider the adoption of the amendment due to a roll call not being given. I would defer to to Chair Nelson.
I think if you could, with the vagaries, Mr. Chair, of if we ask for a division in a normal committee hearing, we'd ask for a division, we'd take a division, and I think the only way we can do a division here would be by doing a roll call. So why don't we give him the roll call?
Yeah.
And we can call it a division. I think that's the way we have to do it.
Yeah. Chair Nelson, that was my thinking, too. I couldn't think of how else we could do that. Representative Koznick, roll call on the A1 amendment, still your preferred?
That would be my motion, if in order, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that, we will take a roll call on the A1 amendment. Ms. Spreck, if you would please take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
No.
Vice Chair Carlson?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Bonner?
No.
Can you repeat that, please?
No.
Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Representative Elkins?
No.
Representative Greenman?
No.
Representative Cleborne?
No.
Representative Koznick?
Yes.
Representative Mason?
No.
Representative New Brindley?
Yes.
Representative Pulowski?
Pulowski, no.
Representative Quam?
Boy.
Um, With a vote of 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail.
So the A1 is not adopted. We now have the bill in its final form here, members. Chair Nelson, I see you have several testifiers kind of on standby to answer any questions. Do you have any testifiers that will be speaking today? Chair Nelson.
I know on members there was information that was sent out to everybody about there was a handout that you can look at that goes through the refinancing piece of this if we do that. But members, I thank you for hearing the bill and appreciate a yes vote.
Members,
I renew my motion. I renew my motion that House File 1388 be referred to taxes.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. I do see some hands starting to pop up here. I'll give folks a moment to kind of collect their thoughts. Representative Bonner, you're first on my list.
I guess it's more of a comment than a question. First of all, I just wanted to say, Chair Nelson, thank you for bringing this bill forward and really thoroughly thinking through how we act as good stewards of the people's money and be responsible about paying down our debt. So I'm really I think it's a thoughtful approach, and I really appreciate that. Also, to Representative Konzdick, I would say that certainly I like the idea of finding ways to help finance our transportation, and perhaps down the road we'll continue to have those conversations and look at the right way to do that. But thank you again for bringing this bill forward. I think it's the right thing to do for our taxpayers.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. I'm not seeing any other hands, so I'm going to talk slowly here just in case there are any other member questions or comments. And I'm seeing none. So with that, Chair Nelson renews his motion to refer House File 1388 to the Taxes Committee. Ms. Spreck, if you would please take the roll.
Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Yes.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Drazkowski.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Representative Cleavorne.
Aye.
Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Representative Mason.
Aye.
Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
Representative Pulowski.
Pulowski, aye.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
With a vote of 13 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails.
Motion prevails. Members, that was the last bill on our agenda. Just a quick note that we are on again tomorrow, Tuesday, March 9th. 8:30. Looking forward to seeing all your bright, sunshiny faces tomorrow morning.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Chair Nelson.
Members, we have a full agenda this week. Again, as I open the meeting, saying it's deadline week, and we're going to have a lot of bills that we're going to be coming through us that we need to get moved on for deadline. So, members, I appreciate your cooperation in trying to get these bills passed and get us through this week. And like always, the Senate has not been very helpful on getting some of these bills through the first deadline. So we may have a light schedule next week because we have a heavy schedule this week. So members, I hope we can get everyone's cooperation and get through this week.
Well said. With that, members, look forward to seeing you all tomorrow so we can get back to work. This meeting is adjourned.